All right, so you get to choose how this goes. Oh, these cards. Oh, Lord. Okay. Oh. Okay, we're almost ready. Okay, a few more. All the cards are just, yikes. Okay, I should have just stopped. That's what it is I should have just stopped. Okay, we're ready. Let me just put this back in the deck. All right. So here goes. Masculine. Lord God, masculine. For this card, it's representing some sort of masculine figure in your life. This is either going to be you, or it's going to be someone who is like a, I don't know, maybe like a divine masculine for you. You know, that tells me a lot of things that are going to happen are very much sanctioned by your own soul. Oh, that can't be good. That in itself, that statement in itself has now got me feeling some kind of way. Your soul is about to sanction something, some sort of learning cycle. Whatever this learning cycle is, it's going to take you to such a high degree of knowing, understanding, not other people, but yourself. Okay. A lot of your spiritual growth is more to do about you learning about yourself than it is, having to do with, you know, someone needing to be in your life, you having to have some obligation to another person. A lot of what we think of in spiritual terms really only ever applies to us, just us, not our entire environment, not our entire life, not everyone in our life, okay? So you have to begin really making sure that the decisions you make have to do with you and your growth, not other people, not about controlling other people. It's not about making sure certain people don't enter into your life. It's not any of that. It has everything to do with your willingness to basically submit to the will of your soul. All right. So, Guardian. You're not unprotected in this, okay? The things that you need to go through are things that you just need to go through. Don't be so scared. You have built-in protection from your soul. You're not alone in this process that you're going through. Now, I wonder if this masculine is familiar with you. Or if you're familiar with this person. Is this a brand new person in your life? Is this someone who I'm literally biting my nails. Is this someone who you are already familiar with? Did you already have contact with this person once upon a time, long time ago? You know, is this, you know, just a repeat of cycles? That cycle wasn't done. And so the person has to go away. I don't know. The person has to do something. I don't know. Rebirth. The next card is rebirth. Whatever this is, it's probably going to get messy because you need to be reborn. Reborn from the shadows of your former life. This is about taking you to a whole new way of existing. And in order to do that, you have to be willing to let go of the life you currently live. You have to be willing to become a different person. Not because the person you are right now isn't enough or is, you know, somehow broken or flawed or whatever it is you want to try and think it is. No, it's because you have such potentiality that can't be reached remaining the person you are right now. The person that you are right now is a person that's most well-suited for the life you're living right now. If you're going to reach higher levels of your own potentiality, you're going to need to allow higher levels of you to come out of its shell. you're going to have to. Now, is someone going to force you to do this? I don't know that you need to be forced. I think it's more of you need to come to terms with the knowing and, you know, begin accepting that this is a natural part of your development. That's like you want to become a high school senior, but you don't want to leave kindergarten. You're going to have to leave kindergarten. In order to do that, you're going to have to leave kindergarten. And if you continue to resist and fight your own soul over this, it's going to be one hell of a process. It really, really is. I would hope that you have gone through enough with your own soul that you understand when you fight yourself, you'll always lose. It's not the same as fighting someone else. Left-handed Emmy is fighting right-handed Emmy. No matter what happens, Emmy is going to lose. Whether it's left-hand Emmy or right-hand Emmy, it's still an Emmy that's going to lose. Right? And why fight yourself? Why fight your higher self? It just wants what's best for you. I think maybe the thing you need to begin analyzing is this lack of desire to grow, this fear of what happens after you grow. Nothing happens. You're still you. You're literally still you. You don't suddenly and magically become someone completely different. You're literally still you. When you allow your life circumstance to upset you to the degree that you feel unsafe being who you are, that's how you become someone different. And oftentimes the person you become when you change because of that type of pain, I've seen this happen time and time and time again. You don't necessarily become a better person or stronger. What I see very often is people become much more defensive, much more struggle in your life because now you think everyone and everything is out to get you. Is life out to get you? Or is life simply trying to encourage you to have the experiences that you need in order to grow in the way you need to grow? Our fear of who we are becoming is the very thing that's causing us to feel unnecessary struggle. Why are you afraid of who you're becoming? Do you know who you're becoming? No? Then why are you afraid? Because you don't know. It's simply a fear of the unknown. It's not even necessarily a fear of who you are and potentiality and loss and any of that. It's you don't know if you're going to lose people. You don't know if you're going to suddenly be rejected by the people in your life. One of the greatest gifts that people have given me in this lifetime is rejecting me. Let that sink in. Every time I've been rejected or pushed away, those were times where I was trying so hard to hold on to the very thing that life was trying to take away. And why was life trying to take away this very thing that I wanted so badly? Because what I wanted was what would help me stay in these toxic cycles, these toxic holding patterns. I was afraid to grow. I was afraid to expand my awareness. And that fear is rooted in some level of knowing how profound my life would become if I simply allowed it. Have you bought into the lie of what you deserve? Because many of us have been lied to about what we deserve. Pisceans and empaths, how many of you have been told as a child that you talk too much, that you're being weird, that you're so difficult? Why do you always have to make things difficult and, you know, things like that? We've been told we deserve the bare minimum attention, bare minimum consideration, bare minimum of bare minimum. Why? Out of convenience. Even good parents, even the most loving, most amazing good parents, unless they're on a whole nother level of parenting, they do what's convenient. I see so many good parents who need the convenience of having their child preoccupied because they need to finish work, they need to this, they need to that. And so they hand their child an electronic as a babysitter. I'm not saying you're a bad parent. I'm saying that's sending the child a very clear message of something. Have you assessed what that message is? Generation after generation, this is what parents do. They simply preoccupy their child instead of actively trying to bond with them. That doesn't mean you're a bad parent. That means you're doing what is most convenient for the limited resources that you have. We only have so many hours in the day. Many of those hours have to be spent earning a living wage so that our children can eat and have a place to stay. Now, have you carried that forward in your life? Have you allowed your adulthood to be a reflection of your childhood, where it's simply about convenience? We're going to do what's tried and tested because that's what we're going to do. That's all we know, so that's all we're going to do. All of the experiences in my life that have really shifted my perception about the world and my place in this world have been decisions that are based in the polar opposite of what is convenient. The polar opposite of what everyone in my environment says is acceptable, is normal, is, you know, this and that. I love my life. I just love my life. Is it because I'm wealthy? I'm not wealthy. I tell you that. I have no hesitation in saying I am not wealthy. Why do I love my life then? Because it's taken me so far into myself and my growth, and my family has joined me there. How did that happen? Well, we exited all the norms. We left that all behind, and we began living in a way that was most beneficial for our family. It's a way that most people would probably be like, oh, hell no. We've homeschooled most of their lives. We've homeschooled them for pretty much their entire lives, even before we began living in an RV. We homeschooled them. And people tell us all these things about how, like, that's the wrong decision. That's the wrong decision. Why? My children don't learn like other children. They don't need the busy work. Why is that the wrong decision? Because it makes someone else feel uncomfortable that I'm exiting the box. Why would it make them feel uncomfortable? It's no threat to them. It doesn't affect their life. Because just like every other situation, they feel you don't deserve to have the kind of freedom they're too afraid to reach for. They're too afraid. And if they're afraid, I mean, heaven forbid you have the courage to live your life. You're going to be choosing how this period happens. And unless you begin choosing things that really are in alignment with what you need, with who you are and what you need, you're going to be living a life based on other people's demands. Really, though, when was the last time you decided something just for you? Like, even what you buy. Do you buy things because everyone else has this and you don't want to be the only one who doesn't have it? Or if you buy this, then other people will be impressed. There was this man. We went to go grocery shopping, right? This was before Christmas. We had to go to the grocery store. It was like a day or so before Christmas Eve. And and my husband and I parked. And the car that he parked beside happened to be, you know, the people were getting out of the car, and it was a Tesla. And this man, who was the driver and I assume owner of the Tesla, was just like, I don't know. He clearly was stressed out. Why? He was worried what someone was going to do to his car. Why? I'm not impressed with your Tesla, sir. I'm really not. I'm not impressed at all. Yeah. To the point where he went into the grocery store, and it took my husband and I a couple of minutes because I need to figure out what we needed to get. I need to find my mask and all this other stuff. So it took us a few minutes. He actually came back out to make sure his car was okay. That's just insane. That's insane. If that car is now ruling your entire life, how are you enjoying it? Why are you enjoying it? In what way? Because you think other people covet it? I really don't give a single caca about Tesla. I don't think they're amazing cars. I don't think they're gorgeous and they're a sign of some sort of status. Hello? Hello? So many people own a Tesla. Especially in California. It's like, that's really no biggie. That's really no biggie. It's a very common sight. It's a very common sight. I'm really not tripping off your Tesla. How many of us live in such a way where, you know, we buy things, we suffer in order to be able to afford this thing that really only carries meaning because other people value it? Because other people value it. How many of us, you know, it's our goal to own red bottom shoes and a Louis. Mm-hmm. Why? Why? Why is that your goal? Because someone else values it? Do you understand the history of that company? How many of us just love Chanel? It's a gorgeous, gorgeous brand. But do you know the history of Chanel? Do you? The woman who was the face of it. Do you know what she supported when she was alive? Look that stuff up. I'm just saying, look that stuff up. If you don't know why you value something, if you only value it because other people are valuing it, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But this is a period where that type of living is no longer going to be supported by your soul. It's just not. It's not going to be supported by your soul, and you're going to be brought across people's paths. And these people are going to be brought across your path where they're going to help you to understand the gravity of the way you're living, either by celebrating you or by challenging you to see exactly what it is that's going on. What's really going on in your life? Again, it's that repeating message of someone is watching you. Someone is paying attention. What are they paying attention to? What exactly are they watching? Are they watching your growth? Or are they watching you struggle to understand what you're participating in? Now, you're not expected to be all high and mighty and live this life where it's like you have to be perfect. You can never make a misstep. You can never allow your environment to affect your energy. Yes, you need to cultivate your own space and emanate your own energy, right? You need to have your energy be what comes out of you, not just a reflection of the energy you're in. But y'all, I don't know if you've noticed, the live streams have been different the past few days. And I've been agitated and, you know, it's very difficult for me to get through the live stream. I have more attitude again. And why though? Because I'd been live streaming on Facebook simultaneously as YouTube. And that's just a very toxic place for me. I was thinking the other day, I did expedite and I was doing so much additional stuff. Like someone, you know, purchased the scan and now I'm doing all this energy work. Why? What are you doing, girl? That's not what this is about. Why? And I had to pause. After the live stream, I had to pause and be like, what is going on with me? Why is my attitude like this? Why am I so flustered? Like, I don't even feel at home right now. I feel really awkward and weird and uncomfortable in my own bedroom. It felt like I exited that sanctuary space that we created together. And I felt very raw, very vulnerable, very unsafe, very used, exploited, just like horrible things to feel, especially to feel as a woman as sensitive as I am. And then I realized, oh, being in the environment of Facebook, it totally just drags me right back to that place that I had exited years ago. Years ago. It was a very potent reminder of why I left in the first place. I wasn't run off of Facebook. I made a conscious decision to leave because I had had enough of the toxicity. I made that conscious decision to leave. And yes, the novelty of being able to live stream on so many different platforms all at one time was cool and everything. But how did that affect me? You got to begin analyzing, observing. How does the novelty of something affect you? The novelty of owning something from a luxury brand. It's just a novelty. And these people, I mean, y'all, you know, I've been around all sorts of people. I've lived all sorts of different lives. And I distinctly remember at one point in my life, I was very young. I was a very young adult. And it was this thing of like, I'm investing in the quality, okay? Yes, it costs more, but I'm paying for the quality. I used to be a little bougie thing, okay? All my work shoes, I'm like, well, how old was I? Like 17, 18 years old. All my work shoes had to be Via Spiga because those are work shoes and they look amazing and it's the quality, you know? Like we're all about quality. And no, I wouldn't buy luxury brand items and be their billboard. No, you could do a little insignia at the very bottom or something, or right there at the collar where it's very, very subtle. But I'm paying for the quality. $100-something t-shirts is a plain t-shirt. And the fact still is this. You might be paying for quality, but in 6 months, that's going to be out of style and you can't wear it anymore. So what does it matter? What does it matter? My entire wardrobe was ridiculously fabulous. It was fabulous, you know? Every 6 months. My entire living wage was being spent on wardrobe. Granted, I had the luxury of living at my parents' house for free. So I had the time and the means to squander and tell myself these lies. If I'm paying for quality. When was the last time you overpaid for a friendship? Because you're paying in energy and focus, right? When was the last time you spent all this time and energy investing in a friendship that was nothing more than a novelty? When was the last time you put so much time and energy investing in something energetic that was nothing but a novelty? Because everyone thought it was cool. I've had so many people upset once they realize the truth of Reiki. I don't know what to say. I've had so many people come to me upset once they realize the truth about twin flames. I don't know what to say. You know, like, did you waste your time? Well, I don't think so. No, Emmy, I wasted my time. Well, did you learn something? Did you learn about yourself and your value? Because if you learn about yourself and your value, I don't think that was a waste of time. If you were investing in someone else in the hopes of forcing an outcome without taking into consideration the reality of that connectivity, then yeah, maybe you did waste your time. But if you learn from it, if you began to understand what you need and how you weren't taking into consideration your needs, then I mean, I don't know. I think we all have to take the time to assess where we are within our journey. Ancestors, remembrance. You're being divinely guided by your own ancestors. You're being asked to pay attention to the road that you're on, the path that you're walking. What are you missing? It's almost like you're missing a component, a detail that's an important one. Are you doing something within your journey just to like simply be able to get what you want? Because I don't know that that's the goal, to get what you want. What you want changes every couple of years. When I was a kid, I hated pickles with a passion. Just I hate pickles. They're nasty. And then when I became a young adult, oh my God, I love pickles. They're amazing. Now I'm just kind of like, sure, I'll have some. If it's already in there, we'll just leave it in there. And no, I don't need extra, extra, extra. No, you don't need to take it out. It's fine. I'm good. I'm not going to go out of my way and make it my only snack. But if it's in a burger or something, that's fine with me. Whatever. Going from one extreme to the other extreme only to get an idea of where the center point is. Whatever you've been through, whatever you're going through right now, it's helping you to learn the center point of your energy. Ooh, respect in reverse. Okay. For someone, this is about you exiting an environment where you weren't being shown the appropriate level of respect. Respect and consideration. Oh, this right here. That missing thing is elusive. I can feel it, but can't catch it. It's a longing to live in purpose. And what if I told you, Gaze, that missing thing is already contained within you, and you're simply seeking an external projection of the reality of what that elusive thing is. The only reason it's elusive is because you still potentially harbor a fear so profound of diving deep into your waters. Everything I've ever needed, information, power, courage, it's there in the depths. The deeper I go, the more of it I find. Here's the thing, though. Thinking back on having been on Facebook for maybe a week, gosh, it was like having all of these harpoons just rammed into me. Harpoons attached to cords, attached to the floaters of life. people who just float along have a fear of deep diving and they don't want you to go any deeper either. Yeah. Part of the reason why I'm now so averse to Facebook is no one ever really wants to take accountability for their life and their actions. All I see day in and day out is people not taking accountability for the way their decisions have formed their lives. It's just, it's taxing. It's so taxing to the point where I don't even care if you're paying for a session or not. I just don't want to take it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want you to continue purchasing extractions from me and complaining about this person infected you, that person infected you. And the reality is you still keep staying in the same environments that continue to expose you to infection. And at that point, it's like, what am I doing? Because now you're pressure injecting all of that into my life, having to hear it, having to deal with it. And you're going to get to a point where you're going to have to make a choice. What's more important to you? Being a good friend to someone else or being a good friend to yourself? If you continue to exist in environments that allow people to feel entitled to you and your energy, you and your gifts, I mean, I can't blame you for feeling very defensive, for feeling, acting, and living like all people do is use you. I found myself returning back to that feeling of like, God, everyone just wants something from me. Why? Because that was already the established energy and dynamic on Facebook for me. I did expedites the other day. That's energy work and personal readings. I did expedites and I was live on Facebook and YouTube at the same time. How did that work out? Go back and watch that and look at the faces I'm making, because I can see comments from both platforms simultaneously on one screen. And God, people coming in like, hey, I want a free reading. I'm next. Like, no, you're not next. You're not next. There's nothing in the description of this video that says I'm doing free readings. Like, and it's not even like, you know, oh, well, you didn't pay me. No, it's like, come on, stop feeling so entitled. There's all these people who have actually purchased something and they're patiently waiting. Stop feeling so entitled to me. And then I have to pause and be like, is that really what's going on? Or do they see me and they see the old me, nothing but an overgiver? And then comes the reality of, why do I really feel this way? Is it because of people in the comments? Or is it because I haven't resolved all of this within myself yet? I haven't resolved it within myself yet. You know? I haven't resolved it within myself, and that's what I need to work on. So the people who are brought to you, if you pay attention, if you ask yourself the questions, you can begin to see how they are gifting you with their presence, the knowing of what parts of you still need your attention. I never allowed myself to heal after I left Facebook. Yeah, see, Maria could see it. She says, and you looked very stressed out, uncomfortable, irritated. I thought that you will end the live very quickly. I wanted to. I wanted to so badly. I wanted to end the live stream and just let you guys know, like, hey, guys, people on Facebook, if you purchase something, look for me on YouTube. I'm ending this live stream. But I forced myself to go through it because I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I have to fully experience this and allow myself to be fully present. I let myself be irritated if I need to be. That's fine. I'll work through it afterwards. But I have to fully understand right here, right now, why I'm not going to do this anymore. It wasn't to prove to them that, hey, you're not going to... No, has nothing to do with anyone else outside of me. It has to do with me being fully present and fully understanding what I'm experiencing and how it's going to further affect the way I decide things from that point on. It's an opportunity to grow. So much of our growth is uncomfortable. So much of our growth is something that's irritating, inconvenient, something that will make you mad. You know what I mean? Ooh, Lucky Smith. Yep. Lucky Smith says, no one appreciates anything for free, but everyone wants free stuff. Boy, oh boy, have I learned that. Boy, oh boy, have I learned that through and through. And I need to apply into my day-to-day life the things that I have learned. It's not enough for you to go through these things and learn something. If you don't know how or when to apply what you've learned, that's not wisdom yet. Wisdom is knowledge in action, applied knowledge, where you can apply what you have learned. If you're living life by simply memorizing things, that's not enough. That's not enough. It's just not. And it's not that it's not enough based on my standards. It's not enough based on what your soul is trying to get you to live through and learn through. So hex and banishment, there's no need for that type of behavior where you have to hex and banish something or someone. What you really need is to learn how to cultivate your space and consciously decide who should have access and who should not. That's so hard. You know, how many times have we found ourselves like, well, I hope they just leave early. Not me no more. Mm-mm. I'm at a place where it's like, if you agitate me enough, I'm not going to hope you leave early. I'm going to be like, hey, you're not welcome here anymore. You're not welcome here anymore. You could please leave. I would really appreciate that. Thank you. Fertility. You're being encouraged to enter into a period of building, growth, creation. Allow yourself to. Card number 18, spirals of manifestation. Those spirals first come from you and your core. You are the one deciding what you will create, either through your avoidance or through your conscious presence. No matter what, you decide. Card number 7, legacy of light. You come from a legacy of light. You do. You come from a legacy of light, and it needs to be something you're consciously aware of, like just cognitive of. Why? Because then you begin to understand whether or not you're still in the childhood of your soul or if you're entering into the young adulthood. Okay? Are you still in the infantile portion where, you know, you're a people pleaser? You're not a bad person if you're a people pleaser, but that's a very childhood type trauma response where you have to be excessively over explaining and this and that. And God, all these lessons coming back lately, past couple days, I had explained something to someone in a live stream and the possible ramifications. And they had said something else in the live stream that, you know, I have no choice but to assume that you really mean what you said, which, you know, you can change your mind and stuff. But I found myself feeling like I had to over-explain something after the fact. And then it became this thing of, no, I explained everything that needed to be explained. They've made a decision, which, you know, I don't feel one way or another over the decision. And I just have to be like, okay. Because really, it's okay. It's okay. The people who choose growth, choose healing, they're going to choose that whether you explain things or not. the people who choose not to, for one reason or another, it's a fear, lacking mindset, all sorts of different things that really cripple them, which you don't have to take that personally. You really, really don't. No matter how much you explain, you're not going to change their mind. They've already made a decision. The most important thing that I want you to take away from talking with me today is always respect the decision that people make, okay? The decision of how to interact with you, the decision of how to regard you, the decision of whether or not they're going to respect you. You know, take that at face value and respond accordingly. Just like respond accordingly. Last night, someone who I've had a session with before, several sessions actually, they went on my business page on Facebook. This is how I know Mercury is acting a fool. I had not heard from this person for quite a few years. I wish them well, and that's that. And suddenly they popped up yesterday commenting on all my posts on my business page, like preaching about Jesus. First and foremost, I effing love Jesus. None of my work contradicts the man named Yeshua. Nothing. I believe once upon a time, a man named Yeshua existed in a specific region of the world. I'm not here to contradict that existence. But when you start talking in ways that basically disrespects everyone else's decision on what they believe and their spiritual path, yeah, I'm going to have to ask you to stop. Like, kindly quit. Stop posting all of these types of comments. Like, well, you're trying to convert me? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? Yeah? I'm a Catholic, baptized and confirmed. What are you trying to convert me from? I'm already one of you. What are you? I'm sorry. Are you trying to convert me to what? I've taken theology classes from kindergarten all the way through till the day I graduated from high school. See what I'm saying? My behavior is more Christ-like because Christ, Jesus Christ, the person you're trying to emulate, never tried to force, impress upon another his beliefs. Never. As a matter of fact, he was executed for not following the popular belief at that time. He went against the Pharisees. I'm going against the popular belief right now that I'm not allowed to question. I'm not allowed to exist organically. I'm not allowed to embrace the gifts that my God has given to me at the time of my inception into this physical plane. You either believe that God is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omnipowerful, or you don't. Because if you believe all of that, then you will know without a shadow of a doubt, I exist because God created me the way I am. I cannot usurp his power. I cannot. And let's take it a step further. Let's take it a whole mother effing leap across the pond further. Jesus was a Nazarene. An Essene. The Essenes and the Cathars are the ones who were the keepers of the teachings he was spreading, the teachings that went against the teachings of the Pharisees. Holy Crusades, all of these different crusades and all of these events, all done in the name of Jesus the Christ, right? Did we forget what was done to the Cathars and the Essenes, the very people of Jesus, the ones who helped him to learn? Do you know what the church did to those people? Most followers of the Christ, they don't even know about the Essenes. They have no idea that Jesus was a Nazarene. They know Jesus of Nazareth. Yeah, because he was a Nazarene. That's how he identified. Yeah. See, that's the thing. It's so easy for people to begin behaving in such a blasphemous way. Such a blasphemous way. All in the name of the one who was treated as poorly, as these blasphemers are treating other people. Jesus did not hang out with the elite. He was known for having compassion and grace and sharing space with the dregs of society. That's what he was known for. Does it even matter what other people say about you, how they identify you, what they call you, the labels, their condemnations? What is a hallmark of parasitic behavior? What do I mean by parasitic? Demonic, full-on demonic. What is a hallmark of demon behavior? Their willingness to impress upon another their distorted belief. That's what demons do. That's how I know it's demonic. It's not by the way they look. It's not by the symbols. It's not by the horns. You know those demonic horns. That's a broken halo. They don't have the full arc. That's what it was. They separated from creation. The arc does not, it no longer touches. So they don't receive the full cycle of energy from creation. The cycle, the circuit, it was broken. That's why it looks like horns. It's not horns. It's part of their arc. So, the moment you begin to think that you can be the mouthpiece for creation, the moment you begin to impress upon another a will you know nothing about, because really humans, you know, spiritualists talk about how, you know, lower vibrational beings, we are the lower vibrational beings. Stop. For real, I'm not joking. We're the lower vibrational beings. Y'all didn't know that, huh? We're third dimensional. The grunt demons, the bottom of the barrel demons, are fourth dimensional. They're a higher level than humans. Oops. Oops. And that's the thing, like many of us don't understand what it is we're, you know, many of us don't understand what it is that we are doing to other people. But see, if you're the one that's being done to, if people are doing things to you, you have an obligation, not just to yourself, but to the other person, to step into your full Christ consciousness, compassion for self, and make it clear, hey, your behavior is not acceptable. The manner in which you are regarding me, approaching me, treating me, it's not acceptable. It's blasphemous. It is blasphemous. I was told art is not a job. What is your job? Oh, Karen. Karen says, hold on. I was told art is not a job. What is your job? Guess I better notify those that bought it and give a refund because it isn't work. It changed my heart immediately. No. Return your heart back to its proper place within you. Never allow someone who does not understand the gravity of your existence to dictate to you what your existence is. I've had far too many people attempt to dictate to me the gravity of my existence, or more accurately, their perception that my existence has no gravity. You can perceive whatever you want. I dictate my worth. I am not to be given away for free. I will no longer offer myself for free. What does that mean? Does that mean I have to be paid for everything? That means I decide what currency is used as payment for the gift of me. If it's your friendship, your attention, I get to choose that. If it's a monetary payment, I get to choose that. And then you get to choose whether you agree or not. And if you don't agree, just keep moving. Just keep moving. It's no loss to me. Karen, that is no loss to you. Take your heart, pick it up, dust it off, and put it right back in your chest. Your art is amazing. Amazing. And now I'm reminded by Michael, this very real thing that we experience where you could have 100 people oohing and aahing and just absolutely celebrating your work and ridiculously, ridiculously impressed. But the one person who doesn't get it, the one obtuse mofo who does not understand, that's the one person we listen to. No, we are not a byproduct of someone's trauma. We will not live as a byproduct of someone else's trauma. You know what I tell myself? When someone doesn't appreciate who I am and what I am, and they're vocal about it, I tell myself, hon, give them a couple of years. I promise you they'll come back and they'll kiss your ass. When their entire environment is talking about you, raving about you, they're going to try and establish, oh yeah, no, I knew them. No, they're like, yeah, that's my old friend. Oh my God, you know them. Oh yeah, no, that I know them. And then they're going to try and reestablish that contact with you. At which point, if you want to be petty Pisces, that's okay with me too. You could throw it back in their face. Or if you want to be a profound Piscean, you can just ignore. You don't have time for that. You're busy rising. You're busy rising. Let yourself keep rising. Okay? It's more about who said it and the influence behind it. Crushing, but fuck 'em. Yeah. Oftentimes it's the ones who mean the most to us that provide us with the opportunity for the deconstruction of the person we thought we were. It's always the people closest to us. It is. It's always the ones closest to us. At least I know for me, I know that for a fact. It's always been the ones that I've loved the most and have supported the most, who have had the opportunity and took it to try and crush me. That's okay. It's part of the deconstruction. They were never an adversary. They were a member of the demolition crew that my life brought into my life to facilitate the rebuilding, the reconstruction. Let's take this one. Kavi says, Emmy, if you hold space for someone and they tell you what gives them hope and it's not you, you're just there. They say everyone but you, right? So are you there for recognition? Are you doing what you're doing as a prepayment to be found worthy of them? Are you purchasing their love with your attention? If I personally hold space for someone and they tell me that, you know, all the things that are important to them, all the things that are important to them is everything but me, that's okay, because that's not why I'm there. But I'm going to need to learn. I'm going to need to remind myself, okay, girl, remember, you see them as a friend. They don't see you as a friend. They don't have to reciprocate. They don't have to love and feel obligated to defend you and choose you the way you do them. And that's one of the hardest things to learn. You know, that stems from, in my opinion, that stems from this fear that I used to have, and you might resonate with this, that unless I overgive, then they don't need me. And they'll choose to not have me around. So I have to overgive. So that way they need me. And I wasn't conscious of the fact that I was doing this. But it would hurt so much. Like, oh my God. Why don't people love me? Why? Like, what did I do? Why don't people love me? And you know, have that kind of loyalty for me the way I do for them, like I'm a good person. And here's the thing, they were never your people. They were never your people. Yeah, I had a huge reach on Facebook once upon a time. Huge reach. Organic reach. I wasn't even doing any ads. I wasn't doing any ads. I had a huge effing reach. But how much was I giving of myself? How much was I overly depleting myself day in and day out to be worthy, to be in the presence of people who are users? And here's the thing, I want to clarify. When you go onto Facebook, something about Facebook turns you, the giver, into someone who feels entitled. There's just something about Facebook. I don't know what it is. You leave that platform and you go somewhere else. You then have the opportunity to rebalance yourself and be the good person that you already are. It's crazy to me. I don't know what happens on Facebook, but there's just something that happens on Facebook. Because I tell you, suddenly people feel like they're entitled to things. Am I looking for something on Facebook that does not exist there? Am I looking for the type of love that I deserve? A community of people who allow me to be me and can understand the value of my authenticity. I know I'm not going to find that on Facebook. I know that for a fact. I'm not going to find that on Facebook. Facebook needs to be utilized as a business tool, and that's it. Use it in order to spread the word for projects that I have. It's not a place to build a community. Well, the Soul Sanctuary, that's a place to build it, but that's a private group. See, there's a difference. That's a private group. We're consciously choosing. The mods and I are consciously choosing what should be allowed to be shared and what shouldn't. Things that feel nasty, people who are an embodiment of that sense of entitlement. No, you don't get to be in the sanctuary. If you make me feel unsafe, you're going to probably make everyone else feel unsafe. You don't get to be there. Oh, but why not? It's a sanctuary for all. Yeah. No. Start your own group. That's that. But here on Facebook, on YouTube, it's this thing of like, I can be here fully present. There's no one that's, you know, feeling entitled, and you guys are just as protective of me as I am of you. It's a mutually respectful, mutually beneficial, very healing, very empowering, very stabilizing environment. YouTube of all places. Why? Because that is what I established at the foundation of this channel. That is what I chose. Now, I already established a different type of dynamic on Facebook. That was what I chose then. I'm probably not going to change that. I'm probably not capable of changing that. That's fine. So what am I trying to say? Every new environment you enter, you have the power to consciously create the type of environment that will be for you. I came on Facebook with no more apologies. Like, listen, mofos, I don't give a damn. Okay. I don't care. I'm going to be who I am. You don't like it. That's okay. There's plenty of other channels. You do like it. Hey, you like it. I like it. I like you. Whatever it is you choose to establish is what will be established. What does that mean? If you choose, this is an analogy, okay? If you choose to create a living being with a pelvis of a quadruped, something that walks on all four, you cannot then suddenly decide in the middle of its adolescence or adulthood, you know what? No, I think I want a bipedal creature. Yeah, no, you're going to have to walk on two legs instead of four. No. The pelvis of a creature that walks on four legs is not designed or functions the same as a creature who walks on two legs. Be very mindful of the type of foundation you are establishing for the environment you are entering into. Be very mindful. Okay? Be very mindful. Bring it into form. Bring into form this beautiful space that you know you deserve to exist within. Bring your dreams into form. Don't wait for someone else to create this opportunity for you. Don't wait for someone to invite you into the greatness you already are. Know that what you're going through, you're in the process of learning about yourself, about what's already within you, okay? Sacred fool. You're not playing a fool for someone. Stop being worried about being made a fool of. The only one who can make a fool of you is yourself. What does that mean? So, say I fall in love with a guy, right? And people are like, oh, girl, he's a player, he's a player, he's a player. But I'm really in love, and it's really this like different dynamic between us, not publicly seen. It's this different dynamic. And there's this soul exchange that occurs. There's a depth to it. You know, he has a reputation of being a player, but he's not like that with me. And, you know, we continue our relationship. And then after a year, you know, our time together is coming to a close. We've learned everything we need to learn from each other, with each other. The relationship is ending. That's okay. Of course, it hurts because I was in love, but they were also in love. And now the relationship says it's done. And so all the people that want to talk, oh, see, girl, I told you he was a player. You totally played yourself. But did I? Did I? How can you make that that type of judgment call? Because you weren't aware of how that relationship would. Perfect example. Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet, I don't know what her name is. Lisa. Jason Momoa's wife, right? Oh, we hype that ish up like, oh my God, they are couple goals. They're going to be together forever. Like, you know, because, oh man, the way they branded that ish, like, oh girl, that's amazing. Oh, I saw a video yesterday. You know, he was juggling her and his ex-fiance for several years. That he finally officially broke it off with his ex-fiance only a few months before she gave birth to their oldest child. Wait, what? And then I think like a year ago or something like that, he was observed, I think outside of some event or some sort of bar, very friendly with that ex-fiance, hugged up. Was that really couple goals? Or was that so beautifully marketed? Know what I'm saying? Was that like a very amazing job at compartmentalization between public persona and private life. Everyone's perception is this thing of like, oh my God, they're both ridiculously wealthy and they live this organic, vegan, spiritual life. Oh my God. And they're so gorgeous. Apparently, while he's out filming, he has to be on a strict schedule and FaceTime her at specific times and go to bed at a specific time. And if she FaceTimes him and he does not answer, you better answer or you better have a damn good reason. What? That's couple goals? Oh, hell no. Don't let people convince you you're playing a fool because you're following your intuitive urge to either get to know someone or push someone away. I had the opportunity to develop a professional connection with someone with a huge audience and celebrity clients. And I'm like, I'm good. I mean, they're a good person. They're nice and everything. They are. But I'm just good. I'm, you know, it doesn't feel like it's my type of flow. Like I'm just, you know, it doesn't feel like me. It doesn't feel like something I'm drawn to. Again, they're a nice person. They are. That could have done so much to truly launch me, send me into this accelerated trajectory of global reach to a whole nother level. But I don't want to, though. I don't know. It just didn't feel like it was something that I needed to experience with that person. When I'm meant to be seen on that level, I will be. I don't need to force it or chase it. I will be. And I had people tell me like I was stupid for not pursuing that. Not pursuing what? The work that I'm meant to do with people, it will happen. I don't have to pursue anything. It will just happen. And when that work is done, then it's done. It's just done. You're not playing a fool for anyone. You're making decisions. And the petty ass people in your life will make you feel as though you chose the wrong thing because it wasn't what they would choose. Well, first and foremost, did you even have that opportunity presented to you? No? Okay, so you can't even tell me that I'm wrong because I didn't choose what you would have chosen. And you don't even have that opportunity. It's not part of your destiny. So you can just quiet down and have a seat. You might need to tell people that in your life. You might need to. You might need to remind them. See, you don't even do the work that I do. So I don't expect you to understand like the logistics of it, the nuances of the industry that I'm in and the work that I'm doing. And I don't expect you to understand that, but you're going to kind of need to be quiet already because you're talking about things you don't know. Yeah. Sometimes people will talk about things they don't know because they like to hear themselves. If you're done listening to them, either quietly excuse yourself or remove them from your space. And that's that. To me, it's a very cut and dry type of thing. Oh, but Emmy, what if they're family? Well, if they don't treat you as such, what's the loss? When my husband and I made the decision to leave California, because at the time, California itself was making my children extremely sick. And then came the whole thing of like, but everyone you know is in California. Like, why would you leave? Like, all your family is in California. And we had to have a very real conversation. So first and foremost, are we losing babysitters? No, we don't. I don't ever ask anyone to babysit our kids. Even if I have like an OBGYN appointment, and I'm going to have a pelvic exam, I bring my kids. I don't have babysitters. You know, that they were all very small still. Everybody got to stay in their stroller. Okay? The older one has to hold the baby for like 5-10 minutes. You're just on the other side of the curtain. You're literally in the room with me. And then came the thing of like, okay, who comes to visit us and how often do they come to visit? because we live about 30, 40 minutes outside of the Bay Area. Okay. To people in the Bay Area, all our family, that's Narnia. That's too far. So what are we missing out on? We don't use babysitters. No one comes to visit. We don't talk to anyone on the phone. And now all of a sudden, because we're leaving, oh, we're being bad relatives? Because how are they going to... Mofo, you didn't visit me when I was 30 minutes away. You think I care? You think I care that you're not going to be able to visit me because now I'm 3 hours away? 13 hours away? Like, you didn't visit me when it was convenient. I really don't care if you're not going to visit me when it's not. Like, people need to remember what other people's place are in their life. And you best believe everybody was up in arms about, how could you just leave? Oh, you didn't know I left last week. We left last week. What do you mean? This is not even up for discussion. You're such a removed part of my life. You didn't even know we left. We left last week. We've been talking about this for 2-3 months. You call me a week after we already relocated? Yeah, no. You don't get a say in my life. You just don't. If you're not present as things are being discussed, you don't get to then dictate how I'm going to rearrange my life to accommodate your expectations because you want the comfort of knowing that I'm conveniently there should you need something. Because really, for some of these people, I was the one babysitting for them. I was the one picking up the pieces for them. I was the one holding their households together for them. So that's it. They won't be able to utilize me in that way anymore. Now, we can still be family. We can still be relatives. There's no need for me to disown you, but there's absolutely a need for me to recognize this is not a mutually beneficial thing. And so, no, I don't need to keep considering your needs. You know? And that's just that. That's just that. That's when you're playing that fool for someone. When you think, oh, they're going to miss me. No, they just don't want to pay a babysitter. You babysitting for free? That's why. They're not going to miss you. You're making their life inconvenient. Yeah. Oh, but, you know, Emmy, no, they don't need to pay for family. Okay, but are they going to bars? Are they getting fancy clothes? Yeah. Okay, so they need to make a budget for you to be paid too. And these are things I didn't learn until way later in life. Until way, 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 way later in life. Now, I'm not going to sit here and be like, my family all just used me. No, I volunteered for a lot of things because I'm a lover. I'm a giver. But at what point do I need to reach before I understand? In order for me to give in that way, I'm depleting myself. In order for me to babysit everyone else's children, I'm needing to take the time and the energy away from my own. Have you considered that in your life? That as you give to other people who really don't care if you give or not, you know, it's just all about convenience for them. You're actually taking away from the people who depend on you. When it came to energy work, I was giving it away for free, left and right, all day, every day. I've always been a workaholic. I always work 7 days a week. That's been my life. I don't take days off. I don't sleep in. That's my life. And I had a distinct moment where someone who I had overgiven to so many times before, they got infested by something truly demonic. And they said something that made it clear, like, this thing is trying to sample my energy. I can't do this work for free. They need to purchase a session because, no. I'm not leaving a void in my space in order for your demon to jump into me. I didn't say it like that. I was just like, oh, you know, you have an issue right now. It's a very strong demonic presence in your field. If you want me to help, you can get this session on my website. You know, I think it's going to just get worse. And then they launched a full-on public campaign to tear me down and call me greedy and selfish. And I'm a money-hungry, you know, Harita. Okay. Thank you. Because that was the defining moment. After that happened, I was so pissed off. Michael had a conversation with me. Because we were still living in the RV and we were stuck in a parking lot. It had been a couple months already. And that whole time, my husband was going to a 9-to-5 job. Okay. That's why I can't really fully identify as homeless, because my husband was working. He was working. We weren't on any type of state aid or anything like that. Like, we were actually fine. It's just we were stuck. And Michael was like, you know, every day your children, they go without that time they could spend with their father and bond with him. At the very least, that's 9 hours. You factor in the time of the drive, that's about 10 hours. Day in and day out, 10 hours. 10 hours he works to provide for us while I give everything away. And that'd been the thing. He's been the breadwinner for so long. He works, I take care of the kids. I take care of everything else. He works, I take care of everything else. I stay with the kids all day. That's okay. I love it. I love it. But here was the thing. Don't my children deserve to bond with their father? Doesn't he deserve to be just as big a presence in their life as I am? Because all the way up to that point, literally, it was like everything is mommy. Mommy is life because she does everything for us. Because daddy's at work. And that was the defining moment. That was the moment where I was like, you know what? No, no more. I'm not giving away no more. You want something? Go book a session. My husband needs help providing for our children. So he doesn't have to work all these hours so our children can bond with their father. And their father can bond with them and get to know them and know what their favorite thing is. And, you know, sometimes the demonic things that you go through are really just guiding you back home to yourself. I still identify as a stay-at-home mom. My husband is a stay-at-home dad. We work together on our company. He knows every nuanced detail about our kids. They're all best friends. They're literally all best friends. He knows exactly what shows they watch, the characters in the shows, the storylines, their favorite colors. He knows when their favorite food changes, even the nuances of you want your bacon a little more crunchy. Oh, no, he likes it a little soggier now. It's a beautiful thing. I had to make that choice, though. I had to make that choice because my husband loves me in a way where he has never told me to get a job. Never. Not a single time. As a matter of fact, now, because I'm the one that is doing the primary work, he's over here like, you sure you want to go live today? You don't want to just sleep in? You sure? You don't got to do expedite today. Let's just hang out. And I'm over here like, I do. I have to because I haven't done it in a while. And he's like, no, who cares? Just hang out. Create that for yourself. That's something we chose to create for ourselves. That wasn't just given to us. It wasn't one of us just dictating. No, we grow and shift apart and together as individuals and as a couple. These are choices that are being made. Like yesterday, I had to teach class. I have to teach class again today in a few minutes. Yesterday, I had to teach class. And right before class started, he was like, I have to go to the grocery store. And I jokingly was like, without me? And he's like, you have to teach your class. And I was like, you can wait until after. And then as class started, you know, my class is doing a recorded meditation. And I text him like, I don't want you to have your whole day like all stuffed up and backed up because you had to wait for me. You can go grocery shopping without me. I was just joking. Ask me if he went without me. No, he did not. He did not. He waited for me. He texted me. And he said, no, I'm waiting. You're coming with me. I'm waiting. Yep. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. What a beautiful, beautiful way to exist where you are totally valued. Your company, and not just what you can do to benefit them, but your company. Your company is valued. Your presence is what I mean. Not company like business, but your presence carries such a value to someone else. The perfection of your life. Perfection of your life. Your life is perfect in all its nuanced glory. You just need to learn how to understand it, how to read it. Karen says, I'm told get a job. No prob, it has to fit me. They suggest a Starbucks or Jimmy John's. I think, Karen, and this is just my opinion, and I'm sorry if it offends you. I think part of what blocks you from receiving the type of attention you deserve because of the gravity of your art is that you have people in your environment that continue to convince you to feed your internal demons. I don't think you have a parasitic issue. I think you have people in your environment who have a parasitic issue. These are the very people who continue to trigger insecurities you might have. Become rebellious to what they say. Take your work to art galleries. Have an art show. Your work is profound. Profound. Start contacting local galleries. Create an online gallery. Convert them to NFTs. And when you become ridiculously wealthy, because finally your art is being seen by the proper eyes that can appreciate the gravity of what you create, I hope you share none of it. Not out of pettiness, but because you deserve to keep it. You deserve to keep it. It's okay for you to understand what you deserve and to act accordingly. Card number 20, softly, softly, the tender touch, allowing yourself to be gentle with yourself, to speak softly the truths you need to hear, you know? Card number 2, inner trust. Trust yourself to know the path you need to take. The path you take is a wilderness. There's no paved road, okay? There's no paved roads. So just flow with it. See where your soul takes you. Card number 34, in the world, not of the world. You're in the world, you're not of the world. You're here for something so far beyond what the world has seen. Back in the day, people couldn't understand why I had to be so weird and so awkward and just, you know, I'm not meant to fit in. I'm just not. Does that mean I'm supposed to be on a pedestal? No, I don't like that either. In my eyes, pedestals are created to tear down, to raise you up so that people have a better view of what they're going to tear down. So then what's my goal? To remind you, you're my equal. So we can both strive to achieve the things we came into this life to achieve. Why? Because I don't see it as competition. Well, why not? You think you're better than me? No, I think I'm different. I don't think it. I know it. I'm different. I can't fill the purpose you fill, just like you can't fill the purpose I fill. So I know you wanted to argue, but I don't have anything to argue about. Oh, you just want to be right. No, I know I'm right for myself. For you, I have no opinions. You're not a part of my life. It's very simple to me. Because the people who are part of my life, they don't have those types of conversations with me. The types of conversations they have with me is like, girl, you're working too much. Girl, don't get down on yourself. Don't get hard on yourself. You know, like very supportive, very loving, not enabling at all. They can call me out on my own BS. They can tell me like, girl, stop it. You know? So other people's opinions. Well, I mean, if you're not a part of my life, why do I even need to consider the blasphemous things you're saying to me? I'm a child of God, mofo. Oh my God. Card number 13, power of attraction. You're attracting to yourself the, you know, situations that you need in order to become as rebellious or as compliant as you need to be with your journey. It's up to you how you're going to live your life. People don't get to dictate to you anything. The only time someone is able to dictate things to you is because you've allowed them to think they have that type of proper place. No, mofo. No. No. No, you don't. No, you don't. Card number 24, new birth guarded vigilantly. So it seems like you have someone who is a mirror of you, and you guys are both going through this birthing cycle. You know, you guys are both going through and reassessing the way life is, you know? I don't even think my family is my family. There's so much that's gone unanswered, and I've always been the one going against the grain. In this moment, I'm alone, and it's rough, but it's peaceful. So Samantha Chaos said that. Samantha says, I don't even think my family is my family. There's so much that's gone unanswered, and I've always been the one going against the grain. In this moment, I'm alone, and it's rough, but it's peaceful. So maybe you're the tool of creator within your family unit. Maybe you're the one that was sent. Maybe you're the one that was sent to help smooth the edges. Who knows? Family is so much more than common genetics. I have different types of family now. I have my relatives who share the same blood. And then I have my inner circle family who knows me so well, who creates such a safe space for me in my heart. And then I have you guys as family who help to empower me and provide a space that encourages me to be more of myself in public view. It's a beautiful thing. There's different layers and levels to family. It's not just the traditional sense. Card number 21, beyond the mind, the heart beats. So that's two twin cards. This is, you guys are mirroring each other's thing. You're in the same process. One is probably experiencing much more pain than the other because their rebuilding was a little bit delayed, maybe by a few years. And so maybe you've already had a remodeling done a couple years back, and you know, you're kind of just little tweaks here and there, whereas they're in the process of demolishing the whole kitchen, you know? So card number 42, the word wants to be written. I don't know, write a journal. I don't know. I'm not good with personal communication. I'm good with public speaking, but like you try and have personal private conversation. I'm not good at that. I'm very awkward. Card number 22, she feels, she knows. I know this, Mang. I know this. I know this about myself. It's okay. Okay. So Yod, Destiny, Jupiter, Abundance, Mars, Force. There's going to be something that you fight for. This is part of your destined path. Whatever it is that's going on, it's something that's going to be profound. You need to be heard. You need to take action. So the Mars card is the Emperor card. Battles, adversary, competition, sporting events, rushing, defense. It's about challenges, excitement, noise, others having battles. Other people baiting you, being bullied, confronting bullies in the family and the job. Defending the position you've earned. See what I'm saying? I have learned it is okay for me to defend myself, and something even more profound than that. I have learned I don't need to continue to choose to exist in environments where I have to defend myself. Bada bing, bada boom. Just saying. You don't got to do that. All right. So Jupiter, So Wheel of Fortune, a change of luck, high ideals, sense of purpose, the strength to go on. So yeah, it feels like this has to do with the twin flame stuff. Twin flame stuff. Yeah. Moving on to better things, greener pastures, fortune, the lifting of obstacles. Humor, being kingly or queenly. Spirit quests. And then, you know, this part of your divine destiny. Okay. I got to get going. I got to prepare for my class. I mean, I'm ready, but, you know, I got to do some stretches or something. If y'all could please give this video a thumbs up, I would really appreciate that. Please share it out on your social media. Hashtag Emmy Evolving, tag Emmy Evolving, whatever social media you're on. I'm pretty sure I'm on there as Emmy Evolving. I am still on shadow ban here on YouTube. Hey, I'm a little too honest is what it is. I don't go by their program. I don't care. So please help me out in that way. I really do appreciate you guys. Please give this video a thumbs up. If you haven't already subscribed, please subscribe. Turn on that notification bell. Join me when I'm live. You guys, I'm live every day, 8 a.m. No, 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Emmy Evolving content. And 8 a.m. on Tuesdays, Pacific Standard Time. 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Soul Sanctuary Podcast. I'm across all social media, Emmy Evolving or Soul Sanctuary 23. And with that, download my podcast. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye, everyone. Oh, actually, I'm going live later today to do expedites, and they're going to be focused on Mercury's fluffery. Okay? We need to correct Mercury. Mercury out of hand. So go check it out. I'll be live today at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time here on this channel. Love you guys. Bye.